very good day to you. I'm Howard Feldman, and this is a Synthesis Podcast. Today, we are discussing a subject that is very close to my heart, and I know very close to the hearts of my guests. We are talking about lifelong learning. How do we instill that? How do we create an environment within our own world, within our families, within our workspaces, within our communities, that people are learning and people are happy to see life as a journey? Our guest today is Buli Ndlovu from Nedbank. A very good day to you and welcome to the Synthesis Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you so much, Howard. It's lovely to spend a bit of my afternoon with you today. Thank you so much for the invite.
Absolute pleasure. And of course, co-founder and director at Synthesis, Jake Shepherd, who has made lifelong learning his passion. Jake, a very good day to you. How are you?
Hi, Howard. Yeah, great. Really looking forward to having a chat with Buli, an inspiring personality, and really, really looking forward to the podcast.
Great. So let's kick off, because, you know, it's maybe I always worry about this, because is it a thing that as we get older, we start looking back and saying, oh, these are some of the lessons? It's one thing looking back. How do we look forward? How do we learn within the moment?
Thank you so much for that, Howard. I think, you know, as you're saying, it's easy as you reflect, or maybe not so easy. Reflecting actually forces you to just think about things you've learned in the past and how you might use that in moving forward. You know, I truly believe in this kind of transformative power of learning, you know, and by its very nature, lifelong learning is a journey, right? More than it is kind of a destination. And oftentimes learning, we ring fence it to kind of the formal academic type of learning. But, you know, the simple truth is learning is not just about obtaining that matric or earning that degree or that diploma, and then you kind of just get on with it. But it's an everyday kind of learning. I mean, just today, I must give you an example of this lifelong journey. Today, I had a learning moment. So as I was, you know, preparing for the podcast, yesterday we organized for a makeup artist to come and give me a face beat and everything. She was supposed to arrive at 8:30, and come 9:10, this lady's not here. I call her phone is off. 9:30, I start freaking out because I'm just looking at the time, because it takes quite a bit of time to, you know, put on an entire face. And I'm not one to, I can't do my own makeup. So I'm now completely freaking out because this woman's not here. And once I realized that she's not going to show up, I started going onto YouTube looking for tutorials on how I might do a face beat. And now that was a learning opportunity, right? So I think whilst formal education and qualifications are indeed important, it's only one way of learning, but there are so many other opportunities that life really presents themselves for one to grow their knowledge in an area and to really develop. And if you want a life that is, you know, full and rewarding as it can possibly be, you almost need to embrace this truth that, and I truly believe this, that every day is a school day, right? School's never out. Every single day is a school day. And you almost have to just be intentional about this constant self-development and striving to be better and to do better. And hence, it's a lifelong journey, really.
So Buli, I'd like to just add on to that. I think we've got the best teachers in the world, right? At our fingertips. You just go onto the internet. As you said, you just went and had a look at a YouTube video and how to do makeup. You've got Absolutely. The best makeup teachers in the world online at your fingertips. So I think it's a different world today to what we've ever had before. And it's a world full of opportunities to learn.
So Jake, whereas I'm fairly certain that YouTube makeup tutorials is not something that you've Googled that frequently, what is it about Buli's experience this morning in preparation for this that resonates with you in terms of being a lifelong learner?
Sure, I spend my entire life just being interested about the world, just being interested by things that, you know, my son will mention something at the supper table, and I'll try and look it up because I don't know what that is. So as soon as you don't know what something is, well, I've got to find out. I've got to actually be a better version of myself within a day or so, you know, looking forward. So I think what you have to constantly embrace is the fact that you're trying to become a better version of who you are today, tomorrow. So you're constantly comparing yourself to who you were yesterday. And as long as you're actually taking those steps forward and you're actually just embracing whatever learning experiences that life throws your way, my kids know that, you know, whenever we're having a discussion, there's something we don't know, I almost pause and I say, right, let me just find out a little bit about it and then further discussion after that. And I think it's just a mindset. It's a mindset that just says constantly try and learn. Constantly, there's stuff that we don't know. And I suppose you can think of it this way. Let's make friends with everything that we don't know because it's so much more than what we do know. And it's really making friends with the world out there and those things that we just don't know, haven't explored yet.
How do you bring that, Bully, into a work environment? How do you create a culture of learning?
So I think what is important for me is as you're creating this culture of learning, it's understanding the mindset, right, that is required to being a lifelong learner. I speak of this notion where, and it's something that I say it to myself, I say it to my teams, that every day is a school day. But this mindset that you need to develop or have to be this lifelong learner, you have to be quite deliberate and intentional about it, right? You need to be self-motivated. You need to go out there and acquire, want to get that information. There's almost this curiosity, this innate curiosity that one needs to have. You know, it's not something that anyone kind of teaches you. No one teaches you to be curious, right? And it's similarly within the learning process. Once you've got that curiosity, you'd want to learn. I mean, I think in the work environment, certainly with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, we all had to sort of unlearn and learn new ways of working, right? Working virtually, what does that mean? Working from home, how do you instill a certain kind of discipline? That requires learning something new, right? And it's really around within a team setting or a work environment, engendering that culture of staying open to learning new things, staying curious, not being comfortable with what you know. You know, I think Jake mentioned something that's really so poignant around this piece around striving for the self-actualization. You know, it's going beyond your comfort zones, going beyond what the limitations of what you know and going to the unknown and being open to not knowing and therefore wanting to find out. And that's really how you just engender that culture within this type of work setting. And like I say, I think the pandemic has forced all of us to learn. I don't think there's anybody who can sit here 18 months later and say, I've learned nothing, right? It forces you to learn. And the work environment has just kind of exposed that need to learn.
It does require a certain amount of self-confidence to acknowledge what you don't know, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And the vulnerability that comes with it, right? The vulnerability that comes with the not knowing. You know, I think for me, it's allowing yourself to acknowledge what you don't know, but not be tied down by it and not be restricted by it and not be almost paralyzed by not knowing, but to actually use it as a catalyst to then saying, I don't know, therefore I'm going to go find out. And you become richer for it. So that there's that vulnerability with not knowing that then forces you to then go and find out and seek and search for that knowledge.
Jake, I want to ask you, in terms of you've embraced lifelong learning, you've brought it into a culture at Synthesis, but this wasn't always the way in which you viewed things. Obviously, you were very academic and you went on that journey. Tell us a little bit about your experience in terms of creating an approach around lifelong learning.
So Howard, you're right. I mean, if you look at my background, I'm coming very much from a technical background, very much the learning that I did was really focused on programming language A or programming language B or how to architect a system. I think what you come to realize when you start being involved in terms of the direction of the company and the culture of the company is that actually what you have to do is you have to create an environment where it's safe for people to take risks, to step out of their comfort zone, and ultimately to fail. And why? Because they're taking risks. They are doing something that is difficult. And most things that are difficult don't work out first time around. And you've got to make it okay for people to take those risks. And the way you do that is don't shout them down when they get things wrong. I remember one of our staff members said to me, you know, the previous company she had been at, she had actually had, she had made mistakes. And then her boss would shout her down and actually intimidate her to a point where she didn't want to try anything new or didn't want to actually take initiative. Because she was just going to get absolutely, she's just worried about making a mistake and then being shouted at. And she said that actually one of the things that for her was so eye-opening at Synthesis, it was just it made her realize what a different environment it was, where she made one of her first big mistakes at Synthesis. And nothing happened. So yes, we acknowledged that it was a mistake. And yes, we said, okay, you know, so let's just put it into context. It's not such a, yes, it's a mistake. Not so big. And actually we appreciate the fact that you took a bit of initiative on this and that was great. We want more of the initiative. So we're not going to shout you down and we're going to just encourage you to bring more of the initiative and just be a bit more careful the next time around. And I think that's what you try and do. So I think what I've learned is that all of us have our challenges. All of us have our limitations, but all of us have tremendous potential. And what one needs to see is the potential that we have in ourselves. It's basically that, and the potential of in all those people around us and say, all right, let's look at the world from a potential point of view, because that's an aspirational, that's a future view of the world. And how do we actually create an environment which allows that to grow? And how do we create an environment which rewards the risk taking and rewards the fact that people are stepping out of their comfort zone and acknowledges that it's not comfortable? Yes, it's not comfortable going into a new area, but there's a gap there. There's a vacuum there. You would like to step in and actually make it better and actually fill that vacuum. We are there to support you and we are there to actually provide whatever you need, whatever impediments are standing in your way. Let's try and make sure that we take away those impediments, give you the skills you need, give you the opportunity to learn whatever skills you need and practice those skills, and therefore step up into a bigger role. And just actually, I suppose, as you know, Jung famously said that we all walk around in shoes too small. And I think it's just to encourage everybody to step into those bigger shoes. And maybe you're going to be waddling around a bit, but that's okay. You're going to grow into them and just to support you in that journey.
Absolutely fascinating. Bully, as executive head of marketing, retail and business banking at Nedbank, what Jake is saying must resonate for you within the culture of your department, the bank. How do you create a culture of learning?
So I think part of my learning journey is really the appreciation of that I have of watching inspirational TED Talks. Okay. And so there's one talk in particular that really fundamentally changed my view insofar as how, you know, culture really encourages learning. And it was a talk by a Nigerian author, Chimamanda Adichie, I think that's how you say her surname, where she really spoke about the danger of the single story. Now, she goes on to say that, you know, the single story creates these stereotypes. And the problem with stereotypes is not that they are untrue, but that they are incomplete. And they make one story become, you know, sort of the only story. And so she goes on to explain that, you know, if we only hear about whether it's a people, a place, situation, a culture, from one point of view, we actually risk accepting one experience as a complete representation of the whole truth. And now our lives, our cultures are really composed of many overlapping stories and thus many opportunities to learn. And so I found this view quite incredibly inspiring, affirming, and really thought-provoking. And what it said to me is that, and it's something I carry certainly within my team and the environments that I find myself in from a work perspective, is that we have the opportunity to learn from all of our collective experiences. And once you break this barrier of believing in this single story, you really open yourself up to a world of unlearning and learning and exposing yourself to just new knowledge that you might, that might have remained locked away, you know, in a single story. So I think for me, once I carry that view within my team and within the environment and within the Nedbank culture, it really just opens up this whole new world where there are so many possibilities and opportunities to learn from different people. And from then encouraging this culture of questioning, you know, questioning things, not necessarily accepting things as they are, you know, as the status quo. Working in the financial service industry can be quite, I mean, it's quite a traditional type of industry. You know, you can get a lot of, oh, we've always done things this way, or, you know, this is how we do things. But the culture that we're engendering, certainly within my team, is to question, you know, why not this way? Why not something different? Why is the one view the only view? You know, and we challenge a lot of that status quo. And in that challenging and the questioning and encouraging that kind of curious nature, we really open ourselves up to learning. I mean, to Jake's point, one of the things that we, what that encourages is giving permission, giving people the permission to fail. Right? Giving people the permission to make those mistakes. And you only make those mistakes when you try things. And once you've tried them and you made the mistakes and you fail, you actually learn from that, because the next time you try a different view, you know, you break out of that single story and you try a different way of doing things. So I really think, you know, that's kind of how, just from the aspects of culture, certainly within my environment, how we're encouraging learning through that.
Incredible. Jake, you've spoken a few times, and certainly I'm a big fan of what you speak about, is critical or crucial moments, crucial conversations, as being opportunities for learning. And of course, those are very difficult. Those are very painful for many of us to have these conversations, because maybe we are a little bit insecure. Maybe we feel, as Buri said a little bit earlier, a little bit too vulnerable. I think men in particular are very, very scared to feel vulnerable or to show our vulnerability. Take me through, or take us through, your approach to these crucial and critical conversations.
Yeah, so actually, it dovetails beautifully into what Buli was talking about in terms of stories, because so much of the difficult conversations we have is actually one person thinking the story is X when it might not necessarily be that. So you'll have a situation where somebody will do something, then a person will feel in a particular way based on what that person's done, and then they're going to act out. They're going to lash out, or they're going to walk out the room, whatever the story is. And it turns out that actually what was really happening is that the other person did something or said something. They felt in a particular way because of the story they were telling themselves. And if they actually just paused, and this is so important, if you pause and you teach yourself to work back, this is how I acted out, and I acted out that way because I felt frustrated, I felt angry, I felt that I was being ignored. And then you work back and say, all right, well, what is the story I told myself that made me feel that way? And if you actually re-examine and you try and tell yourself a different story, and you can do that by saying, you know, why would a good, decent person who wants the best for me act in the way that they did? Isn't there another story that I can tell myself? And I think that that whole concept of story is crucial to crucial conversations, because you want to get to those stories. You want to actually have the real conversations where you unpack each person's story, and therefore you can then find common ground and realize that they aren't victims. We're not victims. The other people out there aren't the villains, and actually we're not helpless. We can move forward. We can move forward together incredibly, in an incredibly I would say in a constructive way, in a way that actually creates, the, as you said, Howard, moments for intimacy, moments of actually building relationships. And that, for me, is critical. One more area of stories that I maybe wanted to add on is I think some of the worst stories we have are the self-limiting stories we tell ourselves each and every day. And I think what we have to try and do, if you just give me a second, I just want to relate a story that happened to me. I always said I could never speak in public, couldn't do it. And one of the, my fellow colleagues at Synthesis, Tinashe Katsande, said to me, he invited me to be a guest speaker at Randburg Toastmasters. Now, for a person who's petrified of speaking in public, you must know, it was the worst idea I'd ever heard anybody suggest to me. But he was very kind, and he said, "Jake, come on, you can do this. Everybody here is going to be very, you know, understanding. We're not critical. We just want to hear what you have to say." And I said, "I'll do it." You know, after he asked hard enough and long enough, as long as you recognize the fact that you're going to have the worst speaker ever at Randburg Toastmasters. So that basically, that started me saying, all right, so let's give that talk. And it worked out okay. I was then asked to speak at Africa Tikkun. And basically, again, my initial gut feel was, I can't do this. That's not me. And I just thought, well, I did it with Randburg Toastmasters. Why not? Why not do it now? And then, so then I could speak at Africa Tikkun, and that went well. And Howard heard about the contents of that talk, and he said, well, why don't you come onto the radio and talk about that? And then all of a sudden, you start doing a whole bunch of radio talks. And then all of a sudden, you land yourself on a podcast with Bulu Ndlovu, and you're actually discussing things that are close to your heart. So for me, it was always about at each step of the way, always saying why, and then recognizing the fact that maybe the right question was why not, and then actually say, right, let's just take that next step. And then you become comfortable with that growth and just recognizing in everybody else that we all have these why stories, like why should I do this? Why should I step out of my comfort zone? And just question those stories and say, well, why not? Why can't you do that? Why don't you have the potential? And I think you do. I think you do have that potential. And how do we help you actually achieve and you know, achieve your full potential?
Bully, do you have a why not story?
Well, not necessarily a why not story. I was just reflecting as Jake was talking around the minute he started saying, you know, why not do the talks, right? And you almost sent it out to the universe. And the universe is literally rising up to meet you. And you're going to get all of these requests suddenly, whereas in your mind, you had this self-limiting belief that I can't do this. But the minute you got to that unlock where you said, why not? The universe literally just rose up to meet with you. And all of these, I'm sure you're getting all of these, you know, talking opportunities and speaking engagements coming your way because of that why not. I do think that is such an important unlock, really, because it's so liberating, right? It feels so liberating as you were saying it. I just wanted to go back to the first parts around the stories. And I think also one of the biggest learnings through the pandemic, certainly for me from a leadership management perspective, was around empathy, right? And breaking this notion of the single stories is around understanding that when you enter into a conversation with people, they come in with their full selves. They bring in, you know, traumas of their childhood into that conversation. They bring in baggage of, you know, disappointments that they felt in life into a conversation. And depending on what happens in that conversation, from a leadership perspective, you have the ability to either entrench those feelings that they come in with or actually liberate them by being empathetic towards, you know, the situation and not believing the single story that you're a failure, you made these mistakes, you need to be punished, we're going to shout at you. But to actually say, look, I understand we're going through a lot. I think as a people, as a nation, as the world, we're all going through a lot in so many different ways, and no one story is more important or sadder or more, you know, more heart pulling at your heartstrings than the other. We all bring in our full selves, and all of our stories are valid. And I think that empathy is required in understanding that everyone comes with their story and from a different perspective. And that in itself allows you to actually learn, you know, learn about self, because it actually forces you to introspect, be a lot more self-aware. And then in terms of how you then engage with others, be it, you know, subordinates or even your superiors. I just wanted to add that. I just thought what Jake was saying is spot on.
No, I love that. And in fact, you've given us the title of the podcast, Let the Universe Rise Up to Meet You. I absolutely love that. I think it's such a fantastic, eloquent way of putting what we're talking about. And really, you've kind of moved where I wanted to go anyway, which is also a sign of a good conversation. But I wanted to take it, you know, we spoke about, you know, Jake spoke about family, and we both spoke about work cultures. But if we broaden it, you started speaking about that we're a fractured nation, and we're a nation, never mind a fractured world, but we are a fractured nation. We're a nation with a lot of our own stories and our own narratives, and the way forward is never easy. It's never easy. That I believe there is more that unites us than divides us, but that's my own personal philosophy. How do we take this lifelong learning concept and instill it in a nation so that we can all grow and learn together, that I can make myself vulnerable in an area that I wouldn't have been able to be before, and somebody else makes themselves vulnerable and we learn? How do we take this magnificence of what we're all talking about and broaden it?
Sure. I think there's no simple answer to that, right? Given our history, our past, our legacy as a people. And it also depends on, I suppose, which side of the fence you're on, you know, which side of the train tracks you were born in. I think for me, what's important, regardless of who you are as a South African, in order for us to move forward, is starting by seeking to understand. That's it, right? Seeking to, as a basic premise, just seek to understand where the other person is coming from. Like I said, it doesn't make anyone's story better or worse or more heartfelt or more of anything. We all have our stories. But I think if we all started from a premise of wanting to understand where we're all coming from, I think that's the basic, for me, start of moving forward. I think about it in the sense of, I mean, I've got an 18-month-old who was born actually on the day the president announced that he's shutting the country down. So he's taught me quite a lot just by looking at him, right? Looking at just how he does things. And I'm reading up a lot on, you know, toddlers and what they do, because I'm a first-time mom. So I'm reading up a lot on, you know, if he's doing this, what does this mean? Because this person can't express himself because he can't talk, but he seems to be able to understand. So I think from just looking at him, I'm learning so much about just seeking to understand. You know, when he's throwing his hands and he's doing all sorts of things, I often step back and I say, okay, you're frustrating me right now. I could just shut you down and you know, force you to keep quiet. Or I could say, this child is trying to express something, but he can't, right? Because he doesn't have the vocab to do it. So how might I almost put myself in a situation where I try to understand what he's trying to tell me? And once I try to do that, and it's just such a weird thing, once I try to do that, I almost see him calming down, and we get to a point of kind of understanding each other. You know, he calms down, the screaming stops, and life can carry on, versus he's huffing and puffing and I'm huffing and puffing and we're both frustrating each other because none of us are understanding each other. I mean, it's quite a rudimentary example, but as I'm saying, I'm learning a lot.
But it's a fantastic metaphor.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot from an 18-year-old. Mm. Absolutely. So I just think if we all just sought to understand where each one of us is coming from, that's the start of at least taking one step forward in the right direction. Otherwise, we're all just going to be butting heads, and purely because we're just not prepared to understand each other.
Jake, you have to have something to say here. I can see it.
I do. So the first thing, the challenge with the child analogy is that your child is never wrong. Ever. So the mom needs to internalize the fact that my child's always right, and then I've got to just come to the party, right? So that's the challenge with that as a metaphor. But like for me, I always say, like, we have to, and Howard touched on it, we have to see what we have in common. If we fixate on where we differ, we're always fixating on these are the areas where you think this and I think that, and it actually divides us. And I think the way to heal that is to recognize where we actually all the same. And ultimately, you know, if I go back to the beginning of Genesis, and it actually says that we all created in the image of God, and we all have a spark of the divine in each of us, and to recognize that spark in each and every person, and to see the beauty that they bring and the essence that they bring and their creativity and their potential. And when we focus on that, which actually makes that is common, that we all share, I think that's what binds. As soon as it's like almost at the tribal way of thinking, it's this tribe and that tribe, that's what splits us up. And from an evolutionary point of view, I sort of understand where it's coming from, you know, because one tribe has to defend themselves against another, and then that just plays out into the broader society. But the way you unify tribes is you look for the common, what's common amongst all the tribes. And that's the way you unite everybody. So for me, it's really looking at what we all have in common. And for me, that's the spark of the divine and the amazing potential that we all have within each of us, and just recognize that and try and actually allow that to flourish. And if, as long as I can actually just say, all I would like to do is for the amazing potential in each of the people that I work with, for their potential to flourish and for them to succeed, then that actually unites better than any other mechanism that I've ever seen.
So, I mean, I could do this all day. I love it. Unfortunately, we don't have time. We do have to wrap it. But if I could ask you both a question, Buli, I'll start with you. What are the three most important ingredients of lifelong learning? I'm not being fair because I've given Jake a little bit of extra time while you answer.
I think the first one I'd say is stay open. I think just staying open to, first of all, staying open to the fact that, and again, if the last 18 months is anything to go by, what we've learned is that change is constant, or it's reaffirmed that, and that it can happen at any time. So stay open. Stay open to change. Stay open to the possibility of not knowing. Stay open to being curious about knowing. So I'd say the first thing is stay open. The second thing is really around, and I've said this a couple of times now in the last half an hour, because I truly believe it, is that every day is a school day. School's never out. Every day is an opportunity to learn something new. I gave you my example of just this morning, I was YouTubing a tutorial, a makeup tutorial, because for me, there's an opportunity in every single day to learn something new. And it can come from anywhere. It can come from an 18-month-old. It can come from a professor. It can come from your boss. It can come from a subordinate. So stay open to learning. Every day is a school day. And I think also maybe the third thing is enjoy the process, right? Learning is not this hard, laborious, burdensome thing, but it's really part of growing and developing and striving to get to this place of self-actualization. So enjoy that process of learning. Perhaps those are the three things for me.
Love those. I absolutely love those. And I love the fact that they were totally spontaneous, that you didn't have this question before. And because it really just encapsulates everything that you've spoken about. So thank you, Jake. Your most important ingredients?
Well, the first one has to be the open mind, and I 100%, agree with Bruley on this one. I think one has to actually just look for the opportunities. There are so many opportunities out there, and have that open mind where you're looking around for opportunities. And we know that those people who feel lucky actually see more opportunities than those people who don't feel as lucky. So it's almost as if you make your own luck by being open to the opportunities and seeing, I suppose, life as a treasure hunt. There's all these interesting things that we don't know where they are, but let's go out and find them. So that open mind for me is 100%. I think the constant working on one's skills and practicing one's skills, and sometimes you're just going to work on stuff that you're passionate about, you're interested in, you know, maybe it is a makeup tutorial or how to do my nails really nicely or whatever it might be, but just you don't know where those skills are going to. I mean, Steve Jobs talks about he loved calligraphy and he went to calligraphy classes and he became the first software manufacturer that built beautiful typefaces into the operating system with the Apple Macintosh. And that's just because he loved calligraphy. So just be open, learn those skills. And lastly, I would say it's about being a hero, and it's about being a hero in one's own life. In other words, we all are actors in the movie of our lives, right? And I suppose if you had to choose which role you wanted to play in your life, why not choose the hero? Why not choose the person that steps out and confronts all the challenges that life throws their way and steps up and faces those challenges? Choose to be the hero rather than some other side part in your life. And I would say it's really a choice of actually wanting to step up, wanting to be the best that you can be and embrace life and all its challenges. And those would be my three.
Absolutely, absolutely love that. I would possibly add as well, just be comfortable in your own skin. No one is born with the knowledge of everything. We all have to learn it somewhere. So if the fact that you haven't learned it yet just means you haven't learned it yet, that's pretty much all it means. And if we can just be a little bit more comfortable in our own skin and acknowledge what we know, what we don't know, it makes the journey so much more fun. And that's one of the comments Bully made as well, is just enjoy that. Just enjoy that process. Well, as I said, Bully and Glovo, Jake Shepherd, I could do this for hours, but we can't. I've absolutely loved chatting to you. Thank you for your participation. Thank you for watching the Synthesis of Podcast with me, Howard Feldman, with Jake Shepherd, and with Bully Ndlovu. It's been, to me, a fascinating conversation. Don't forget to subscribe below, and we'll bring you more of these types of discussions. Have a great day. God bless.